The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. A podcast featuring Elvira Love, Deborah Voith, and Lenora Brightmoon. Three out of the broom closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each episode, they will help you create rituals, cast spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. And now, on with the show.
Oh, boy, it's been a while, hasn't it, Deb?
It sure has been.
Well, we wound up on hiatus for a while, and we're back now doing our show. And we also have a new person who has joined us, which will be
Lenora Brightmoon.
And Lenora is a practicing witch. And so we will be having shows where one of them is co-hosting with me. And so we'll be going back and forth. That's our newest version of The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. But since we have a really, really interesting topic and we want to get right into it, Deb is going to go ahead and lead us off and start talking about it. So Deb, take it away.
All right. Well, hello, everyone. This is Deb. I'm here and ready to discuss today's topic, which is the differences between paganism, witchcraft, and Wicca. And I think especially with the newer witches, it's like a lot, I get a lot of younger people that are newer on their path, you know, wanting to define them, see what they're all about. And it can be kind of confusing sometimes because some of the terms are used interchangeably. And so I'm just going to start out with generally defining like what paganism is, and then a little bit about what Wicca is, and then what witchcraft is and what the differences are. And I'm starting with paganism because this is probably like the broadest category of the three terms, and it covers a wide range of meanings and spiritual practices. And first off, like, paganism is a religion and is also kind of an umbrella term for a wide range of practices and spiritual beliefs. And so, and paganism also, you know, covers practices that can be referring to different time spans from, you know, going back to ancient times. And then there are the modern practices of today. And paganism is also connected to many different cultures throughout the world. And so with this, you know, kind of an overview, I just wanted to highlight a few main concepts that I thought of for this topic. And that first is that paganism often refers to the polytheistic religions, which were practiced by the people of the land. And these people were very connected to the rhythm of nature and were those common people who worked with the land as farmers or hunters and gatherers. And so most paganism practices are deeply linked to nature and to the cycles of the seasons and the turning of the year and along with the moon phases. So paganism is very much in touch with nature and everything associated with it. So the pagans of many different groups, different cultures, in different places in the world had different, but sometimes similar deities. And I would say most pagans are and were polytheistic, although there's a minority that are not. And, you know, many of these groups were also animistic, meaning that they perceived spirit in all living things, which kind of makes sense because it's, you know, it's so very nature-based, so very connected to everything that's going on in nature. And so, so much of like the ancient paganism practice, it's very old, much older than the three main monotheistic religions or the Abrahamic religions of Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. And so what has happened, you know, over the course of time in history is within the rise of the three monotheistic religions, there were many movements to move people away from the old ways of pagan traditions and into the monotheistic traditions. And in fact, many of the old pagan deities were often rebranded as lost gods or demons. And so one last thing I wanted to mention is that the perspective is today of modern paganism and how it's practiced. And so modern paganism, just like ancient paganism, covers a wide range of practices. There's probably thousands of polytheistic practices and religions that will fall under the umbrella of paganism. And so many of the modern pagan religions and practices are referred to as neo-paganism or as reclaimed. And that's because many of the old traditions have been reclaimed or reworked into modern day practices. And so we understand that while some of the, you know, practices might have been lost in the passage of time, they have been recreated and readapted for modern practice. And this is usually done with the effort to keep the practices as close as possible to the original form. And there are some modern day pagans who do not follow like a set religion per se, but they might connect with certain pagan deities. And so so I believe the definition of paganism can vary. I think if you ask 10 different pagans what paganism is, you might get 10 different answers.
Yes.
And so it's a very wide range of spiritual practices and beliefs. And so I'm just going to touch real quick before passing over to you on Wicca and witchcraft. Because Wicca, really, it officially falls under the umbrella of neo-paganism. Because Wicca is an official pagan religion. And there's just so many different forms of Wicca. And so basically, Wicca is just one of the many different forms of paganism. So, in fact, because there's so many offshoots of Wicca, Wicca is actually another umbrella term covering many different traditions and practices. Mm-hmm. And so the origin of modern Wicca is believed to have been created in the 1930s, although some believe that it was way before this. But Gerald Gardner reported that he belonged to a forest or a coven in the New Forest, not a forest in the New Coven. but so that his form, his Wicca is a religion, and it was first like formally brought out or formally recognized in the 1950s. And it was started by him. Gardnerian Wicca was started by Gerald Gardner. And this happened, this coincided with shortly after Wicca came, or witchcraft came out of the broom closet, so to speak, after some of the British laws against witchcraft were repealed. And so that's kind of when he came out with Wicca. And so there's many forms of Wicca. There's, you know, the Gardnerian, Alexandrian, Dianic, the sex Wicca, reclaiming, you know, eclectic, solitary. I could go on and on because there's so many. But one important thing to know is that most Wiccans consider themselves pagan, but not all pagans are Wiccan. And some pagans do not he practiced magic at all. And so I just want to say just a couple quick words about witchcraft and then turn it over to Elvira. It's just witchcraft, I guess it can be kind of challenging to define sometimes because, you know, different people have different ideas or different concepts of what a witch actually is. And so witchcraft, I guess the most important thing to me is witchcraft is not a religion. It is an art. And witchcraft, it's a craft. It's a magical art and a magical practice. And witchcraft itself is entirely secular. There's no religion or deities connected to it unless you want them to be. So a witch might incorporate deities or other entities and a wide range of spiritual practices into her craft. So witchcraft practitioners are not necessarily any religion or faith. A Wiccan or a pagan might practice witchcraft, but not necessarily. Witchcraft is a practice and an art, and many Wiccans or pagans might even refer to themselves as witches, and they might be or they might not be. I think, you know, the confusion, like I said earlier, comes from some folks using the terms Wicca and witch or witchcraft interchangeably. So a person might be a witch but not Wiccan, or they might be a Wiccan but not a witch. Mm-hmm. Or that person could also be both a witch and a Wiccan. So it's highly individual, and we each end up choosing our own spiritual path and craft. And, you know, just to say like a couple of different types of witchcraft that might not be associated with Wicca is hedge witch. And they work with spirits and have a foot in each world. There's the eclectic witch who uses a blend of traditions. The folk witch uses traditional and cultural folk magic. And so that's just like an example of a couple. There's so many, many different types of witches, and they're all, you know, I would say defining what is a witch, just like a lot of the other things mentioned, are kind of in constant evolution. And with that, I would just really love to hear some of your thoughts, Elvira.
Oh my God, yes, yes. Or oh my goddess, yes, yes. See, there it is. I'm interchangeably using terminology. Well, you know, when I started looking at this, and I have known that, you know, paganism is, you know, a religion, it's a spiritual practice, and, you know, witchcraft is the magical side that you use rituals and spells and, you know, astral walking and, you know, all these different things that are part of more the hands-on. And so it's, you gave a great basic. I mean, I have to throw out half of my notes on that, so that's good. And it's okay, it's all right. But it's interesting because when I started looking at, you know, paganism and getting an idea about where it is that you do have the fact that it is without being defined as it, what kind of religion you utilize, meaning a lot of people who are based in nature and the way it is, because of course, traditionally paganus is the Latin word, and it gonna love this one. It basically is hicks from sticks, okay? So it's rural, it's peasants, it's the people that were close to the land. So in essence, that was what they used. And at first, it was originally a more of a derogatory term it became, but as, you know, Christianity and more structured religions, the, you know, Abrahamic and, you know, the energy of that, they kind of used it as a way to denigrate, but it really does say exactly that, being close to the land. And it's interesting talking about close to the land. I'm sitting here before I started getting on for this show, and I suddenly look up and there is this beautiful female doe standing in my yard and starts to eat the grass. Well, of course, the dogs weren't exactly excited about that, so they started to bark, but it was, that's the kind of, you know, interaction you have. It's a being with the land, whether it's animals coming on and connecting. I had a rabbit the other day come on, and I know, you know, symbolically what and all, but I just went out and I started talking to him, and he just had his ears up and he was looking at me, and I mean, kind of like, I said, I think you want to kind of move on because my dogs aren't happy. And he's kind of like, yeah, I understand, but I want to eat. But it's that kind of aspect to honor the flow of the earth, the cycles of the seasons. And they, of course, were basically very connected to seasons because, you know, as ancients, they would make their lives through the and live their lives through crops and all the things that were part of it. But then you go to the actual aspect of Wicca, because again, we go into a more civilized environment where people start wanting to put a defined term on it. And I think that's the difference between the ancients. They just were. That was it. They just were, as opposed to the Wiccans and people that wanted to have a definition of who and what they were. I don't consider that bad. I just, you know, realize it's the way modern humans evolving. But and of course, you have all of the different potentials of, you know, from Gardnerian, Alexandrian, you know, then you go down to the different ones that are part of that. But then witches and witchcraft and the concept of that was taking the energy and working with it, not just worshiping it, but working with it. And I think that's where witchcraft came in as a craft. And there were people that felt more akin to it and felt, instead of going out and maybe doing a crop, they would go out and talk with the plants and, you know, connect with the plants and use them in ways to enhance situations, take care of situations. So kind of was like coming out of the religious aspect to an actual practical way on what to do with this beautiful experience that they were having. And then again, do we define ourselves? It's funny because back when you and I did one show, and I don't remember the show because we did so many really great shows, but I suddenly came up with, you said, you're a hedge witch. And I went, oh my God, after you explained it, and I'm going, that's what I am. You know, because I never really thought about putting a total term to it. I just knew I practiced this art of witchcraft. And so I think for that, I think people go out, they do rituals, they do spells, you know, they do these wonderful experiences because, you know, that is an outgrowth. It's a practical way to use what your spiritual path is. I'm a pagan. And I think that for me, seeing how to, you know, like go back and forth. And one of the things I did find, and then I need to kind of turn it back to you real quick, but I was, I have background in Italy, but Sicily specifically. And stregaria is a more neo-pagan term for a Italian Italian religion, really. And it started way back before Raven Grimassi started to bring it out in his books and practices. But it's interesting because it is Dionic, it is more into a deity religion, but there's always the other things that go with it. And I was really fascinated when I first started connecting with it. And of course, as you know, a lot of things start as modern people start to put their terms on it.
Mm-hmm.
It changes a bit, but you know, Charles Leland is the one who, you know, basically started back his in 1899, his way of going back and check, you know, researching and coming out with this. And of course, Aradia was the version of Diana. But I thought it was interesting because it was about the moon goddess, but it also had the horned god, which unfortunately, when you're in Italy, they're going to make that the devil no matter what. But it was, again, the idea of nature-based. And but that is another actual religion. And out of that, of course, the witchcraft process is formulated as well. But it's from practical use of what to do other than worship your deities and mm-hmm. you know, honor them and commune with them. So mm-hmm. that's kind of where I came up with adding a little different to what you brought out. And of course, you know, I find the fact that we're looking at this as our first show is kind of interesting to, you know, start reintegrating the ways that we're going to be talking from, you know, now on in our shows with what we mm-hmm. want to bring out. So I turn this over back to you because we've got about maybe a few more minutes before we get to the second half, and that's going to be a little more personal.
Yeah. You know, I feel that I really like that we started out with this show topic because I can see that a lot of people are searching.
Mm-hmm.
I get a lot of questions. Online and also when I'm working in person at the shop, from new people that they're trying to find their path, and mm-hmm. they have a lot of questions, and I think that some of it can be confusing because the spectrum of paganism is very wide, and the path of the witch is. It's like a multi-leveled, multi-layered type of a thing that, you know, I believe that a lot of people feel the call mm-hmm. Towards, you know, witchcraft. A lot of people already feel connected to nature. They feel more spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they have, you know, different, you know, energy sensations and other things that they're trying to figure out. And so and often I think especially with the, you know, turbulent times and the chaos that with the witch having that history of being the outsider,
mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of people relate to that and are drawn to that because of her history of being the outsider, mm-hmm. even though she's become a little more mainstream now, but still that's really a big part of the witch's persona.
Right. Well, it's interesting because you know that witchcraft actually is in, there are other religions that have that as an offshoot, not just the pagan tradition, mm-hmm. you know, religion. But witchcraft being utilized in other practices, other religions, such as the African religions and even the Asian and Indonesian.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, we don't necessarily consistently know some of the, you know, more indigenous mm-hmm. practitioners were, you know, named as shamans. And so there are different terms that were used rather than, oh, witchcraft. But when you come to modern times, they just go, well, that's witchcraft. That's witchcraft. They're all suddenly lumped together. But I did notice that we do have the practice that of using a craft in other aspects, in other religions and other belief systems. So that's another part that, I mean, we're more connected to, you know, European cultures. And then there are other things that we've come in contact with, whether it's Polynesian or, you know, hoodoo, into, you know, African. So we do have other things that come into play, but I think we just need to say that it isn't just one term for one way of calling it pagan. It's you know, more nature-based, I think, would be a general or a better general term.
A witch, witches have, you know, always walked among us, as you pointed out. You know, I think a lot of its roots is in different cultural shamanistic practices, working magic, and getting to, I think, truly getting to link with the spirit of trees, of, you know, the land, of rocks, of, you know, all of the different things in nature that you connect. And those are actually the things that that are like the foundations of working with magic.
Right. So definitely.
Yeah. So I think this is a good time to take a quick break, and then we will get back and expand more on some of these thoughts. And so break us away, Nagashiva.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages. LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance that brings you the best in hoodoo, conjure, witchcraft, rootwork, new thought, spiritualism, and pagan ways. Our shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, live on Sundays from 3 to 4:30 Pacific Time. Crystal Silence League Hour, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, and the Now You Know Show. All these shows are available as audio podcasts via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and at YouTube, where we make daily video uploads. Please like and subscribe at youtube.com/LuckyMojoCurioCo. Sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, makers of handcrafted spiritual supplies and offering the widest selection of magical herbs and roots, plus hundreds of free web pages filled with spellcasting tips and fortune-telling techniques. Our shop is located in Forestville, California, and we sell retail and wholesale online at LuckyMojo.com.
All right. Yeah. All right. And ready to kind of expand more, maybe talk a little bit about this topic, kind of more based on our experiences as witches, and perhaps any recommendations we might have for the seekers out there. So why don't you start us off, Elvira?
Okay. Well, it's interesting how my journey to being a hedge witch was more out of a desire to find a way to help myself. And so where I was, and at the time, I probably could have found a teacher or a mentor, a coven, but I started with something more practical. So it became the tarot. And that was where I wanted to learn the tarot, and it was for a practice. It wasn't for reading or divination or any of that. And so I did find a teacher and found a lot of things from that. So a lot of times I think you quest for something and you get a tool and then you find that tool opens doors, kind of like that's the key for me to have unlocked. Yeah. And yeah. It really helped a lot because, and of course I started with a writer deck and then kind of wandered around with, you know, a few others, and nothing really spoke, except of course the eventual one that did eventually speak to me is the Witch's Tarot, la-di-da-da. And but it's
an excellent deck.
It really is. I mean, it's definitely got a lot to say for itself. But I also found that started to incorporate other things, you know, for me, and different ways to gain contacts. Of course, I wound up doing a store. I actually put a metaphysical store together and started doing that. And through that, I actually kind of amped up and warp drived my connections, because of course, by doing that, people come in, and then other people from other stores, and then different people want to do classes. And
yes.
You know, so you expand how you get into different areas. And, so, you know, whenever I'm talking to somebody or they're, you know, a client that wants some help, I will gear them to, you know, finding something that opens the door for them. Mm-hmm. And it could be a class on magic, or it could be a class on meditation, or, you know, something that starts the movement forward, because that was, I know all the books. I mean, I have a huge library, and, you know, digitally now as much as physical hands-on. And I also wanted to learn eventually the history. So, you know, like we're talking about, you know, who and what the different people were that opened the doors for it to become more, I don't want to just say popular, but for it to become a more common way to find, you know, things for yourself. And, you know, and I know people go walking in the woods, the park, if you've got an ocean, you go to the beach, suddenly nature starts to talk to you. And
yeah,
that, you know, when you start doing that, there's things that open up to you. So, you know, how do you start? I mean, I found groups of people very helpful. So when I finally, you know, would work, I worked with a particular woman, and she did, it wasn't a coven as a coven. It was a group of women who were looking to connect into a spiritual path. And then it became more of practicum. So so that was you know, how I look at it is that it's hard. I mean, obviously where I am presently is a little less than I was in California, for sure. That was easy. I mean, there are several stores, several places that people, you know, put the energy forth of Wicca, pagan, witchcraft, you know, it's broad. It's under guise in other places. So you kind of have to walk you know, into places and look around, and then sooner or later you will find someone. But then online, I mean, we've got this huge encyclopedia of online, but again, and this we'll get to after I let you talk your side, is you have to be careful, and you have to be, you have to realize that there are many people out there that are limited in their abilities, or that you outgrow quickly because you are. And that's the other part, is that when my teacher, you know, that I had for my tarot and my path, she finally said, I can no longer teach you. You are where I am, and you need to go out in the world. I was devastated. It was like
a wonderful teacher, though, to tell you that rather than to keep you, you know, where you were.
Very much so. I mean, of course, when she said it, I was like, no, I don't want, and I was crying. It was like, no, but it was like, you got to go fly. And at that point, I understood that that is also part of when you are a good teacher, and you find a good teacher, is when they finally put you on the path of going out on your own. My father used to call it putting you on vacation. You go out and you do the things in the world that you need to do, and then you can come back. But it's time to experience what you've done and learned and incorporated. And on that, I'm going to turn that over to you. What was your path like? How did you come into this?
You know, I feel like, as often happens with me, is my path was kind of long and sometimes convoluted. But that tends to be my way. It's like my journey has always, I think it has always been very much the path of the witch. Early on, my path was where I really, really took more of a dive into paganism. And which was like a breath of fresh air in regard to featuring the goddess and the feminine aspect of deity and the divine, because, you know, I was raised Catholic, and there wasn't any goddesses in Catholicism, although maybe Our Lady of Guadalupe or Mary could be considered such. But I had heard of Dianic witchcraft in Z Budapest, like back in the late 70s. And then, and I think I even got one of her books around then. And I started exploring witchcraft, I suppose, further, like in the 80s. But I think that for me, it wasn't really until like Scott Cunningham's books came out, the Encyclopedia of Magical Herbs, and that was like in 1985. And then the book I really liked, and I still refer people to it, is Wicca, A Guide for the Solitary Practitioner. And that came out in 1988. And so I think that that really helped me to kind of take like more of a full dive into my magical path. Like before that, I was exploring like different deities, and I was connecting more with nature and magic. And so then I would say, as I journeyed along, I joined a local coven, which was, I believe it was kind of like an offshoot of Buckland's sex Wicca. And, you know, the primaries, you know, in that craft is Woden and Freya. But I kind of grew a little dissatisfied with it at the time, because the reason that I joined is I wanted to learn how to do ritual with a group. So, and that ended up being like not such a great experience, because there was like a little bit of ritual, but it wasn't really like what I was expecting. Like I really wanted to learn more. And so then I did the same thing. I opened a metaphysical shop in 2006, and you know, it's that's such a cool experience because you become sort of a nexus for like
for
all sorts of experienced people and newbies and everybody in between. And so so in 2006, me and a few others started like the 13 Moons Coven. It was, you know, an eclectic coven because there wasn't really another coven around besides someone that I had been in. I think there might have been one other one. But so our emphasis with the 13 Moons was on spiritual, because there was actually 13 of us, believe it or not. And that was like our inner circle. And everybody had a little bit of a different background, I would say, as far as culture and spiritual beliefs. And so we believe that the divine source has many faces. Mm-hmm. And we were very, very open. And we developed many rituals, which was wonderful, like something that I had been wanting to do for a long time. And so we had, you know, our inner circle would perform rituals for the community, and we taught classes, and we had a book of shadows, you know. And then that kind of started drifting apart when I closed the physical shop around 2011. But I'm still in contact with most of my coven mates from that period of time. But since then, I've been mainly a solitary hedge witch. with you along the same lines as you, my sister witch. And, but I, all those experiences I needed to have to show me where I really wanted to be. And so, and I also have a hard time following other people's rules. So, so I'm of the spirituality where I'm a loose, my spirituality is worn like a very loose fabric. I can just as easily work with Bridget or Hecate as I can work with the Christ consciousness or with angelic energies. And I love all the aspects. I love the differences, you know, of the divine. And I like to flow with, you know, whatever I choose rather than following just one path.
Totally. And it's interesting because you say, I mean, I didn't have any traditional religious background. You know, my parents never had us in any one area. But I have come to really connect with the archangels. And it's kind of interesting how the cycle of things goes. So when you talk about that, it's growth. And I think that's, you know, I had a part of a coven. It was three women that were basically a coven, and we were that for probably close to 15 years. And you know, then life happens and things change, and as you said, you know, things kind of move apart. And since then, I have truly, as you, been more solitaire. But that doesn't mean always a solitaire, because there's people you connect with. So when people are connecting, it's maybe not the traditional structure of a coven. Mm-hmm. But it is a connection of working together. And I think that's what, when young people, newbies, you know, start their path on education is the first part, you know.
Yes. And
that is, you get it through practicum, joining groups, getting classes, doing that. And then there's doing things on your own to, you know, it's just like, you know, okay, I'm going to learn how to roller skate. I mean, I put the skates on and I slip and I fall, or I hold on to the railing, which is, you know, a teacher or, you know, something of that point. And then suddenly you're moving on your own, and then you get with it, you suddenly get a flow, and then suddenly other people, I think that more of how we focus and function in our present day society. In ancient times, they didn't have the fluidity of movement as much as we do, whether it started with cars and moving on trains and planes and all of that to different locations, to the internet. And, you know, then we wound up with something that stopped our communal flow, which was the COVID.
Right.
And that was, you know, we went to the online communion of community. And now it's a hybrid of both. I mean.
Right. You are so right.
Yeah. So I think, again, experience, learning, falling down, getting up. It's the same thing as when we, you know, started to learn how to walk, talk, go to school, you know, have relationships, you know, friendships and then romances and all the rest of it. And you never really stop learning. I know that we consider people masters or, you know, in a position, but they too know that they are, well, humbly should be a better space, that they are as much of a learner as you are, but maybe in
absolutely
level. And I guess that's why I get frustrated sometimes when I'm listening or seeing different people putting themselves in positions. So I think for and I think
I know what you mean by that.
Yeah. So it's, you know, we all want that one person that we know will have and help us when we fall down and we are hurting or we've made a mistake or something. And you get that, but then there's also the time of being on your own and learning to be stronger. But then going back to the same thing is, you know, learning when to ask for help. So it's a circle. It's even not a circle. It's a spiral. It's the consistent movement.
Yeah. No, I agree so much with what you have just pointed out. There's, you know, for advice for anybody, you know, out there just starting their journey, I'm very much like into, just like with, you know, anything else where you want to do research, you know, you want to get information to help you find your path. And to me, it's like you need to try on a few different paths to see which one is really for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I think it's good to make sure that you explore, you know, a few different paths before committing to any just you know, one specific one. And you know, I also recommend kind of like building your tribe. Like this could mean joining a coven or joining a pagan group, but it could also mean just, you know, building your tribe in other ways, like surrounding yourself with positive, informative people, surrounding yourself with sources like groups through your local metaphysical shop, as you just pointed out. Get to the local occult shop. Also some groups on social media. I say that with one caveat. Is there are you can find a lot of interesting information on social media in the witchcraft groups, but I just caution anybody starting out to be careful because, I'm going to give an example, which might sound kind of silly, but the example that it makes me think of is when I first had my first child, had the baby, brought him home from the hospital, and I didn't know anything about babies. I was only 19 at the time. And he cried this boy cried all night, no matter what I did. I fed him a zillion times. I changed him. And anyway, I started figuring out what to do by just searching out sources that gave me information that was helpful. But in that process, and because I was breastfeeding and stuff like that, I had so many different people giving me advice, telling me you're doing it wrong. No, you have to do it this way. No, you should only give them bottles. No, you should only, you know, do this or do that. And it was like so confusing to me because for every person I talked to, there was a different opinion. So I feel like starting off on your journey, you want to just surround yourself with positive, informative people. And even, you know, whether it's online or in person, you want to follow the ones that were your, that you most resonate with, the ones where you feel comfortable, where you feel like it's okay to ask questions, where you feel, you know, that you're getting positive, you know, informative information from people that, you know, and hopefully they're giving you sources for where they got their information, not just pulling them out of their, you know, what's.
Yes.
But, and also listening to other shows like this show, or other podcasts, or other YouTube videos that you, you know, where you feel like you connect to what's being said on an energetic level. And so, yeah, just always kind of follow that inner voice, and you will find find your tribe, I would say, even if you don't commit to a coven. You'll find your tribe, and you'll learn, and you'll grow, and you'll keep evolving along the way.
And most especially, we also have to be willing to let go of things. Sometimes people, sometimes situations, sometimes it happens without you, shall we say, making a defined statement of, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to be hanging with this group. Just like we do in our regular lives with people and friends and associates and business people. I know that this becomes a sense of high loyalty, and that is important, especially when you're working in a spiritual path. And then you take it on as a, you know, a craft, a practice. But there is, you have to be conscious of where you are rather than giving it over to the group as a group or a person.
Yes, yes.
You know, and it's hard. I mean, there. I know that you and I both have had people we've had to let go of, groups we've had to let go of, locations we had to let go of because of whatever was going on. And we knew it was time to release. And that is important. As much as getting into something is important, it's knowing when to take the next step. And it may not always be a delightful step.
Right.
Out of the situation. So, I mean, a lot of this isn't how to get into a coven. You go to this, you get on here, you do that step, you do this step. I mean, that is a how-to book. And I know that we could do that as a show. But a lot of times it's when somebody says, whether it's on a show, it's in a class, or it's someone you're talking to says something, and you go, oh my gosh, that is it. And you know it because somebody just said something that resonated with where you were at that moment. And that's what I feel this conversation is all about between each of us talking about it and between ourselves.
Yes. Yes.
But it looks like we're coming to the end of our show, which...
Yes, we are coming to wrap up.
It always feels so short.
It does. Once we get going, it's just like, yep, zing, zing, zing.
Right.
Yeah, I'm always inspired by you, so that's always
You too, for heaven's sake. I mean, there are things that you say. I'm sitting here writing notes about what you were saying because there were so many intriguing points of reference or information that you brought. So thank you. I mean, it goes both ways because that's what this is.
Because we're sister witches.
Yes, we are. We are.
We are sister witches.
Okay. So
we should wrap up. Let's see. Let me do the housekeeping here. Mm-hmm. So for readings or brew work, you can find Elvira and I on Hoodoo Psychics and also on AIR, the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. And you can also find Elvira online for readings at www.elvira.com. And at a second site, you can find her at www.milk-and-honey.com. And you can find me, Deb, on my website for evidential mediumship, tarot readings, spell casting and root work at www.bewitchingbee.com. And that's bewitchingbee.com. And you can also find my books on Amazon.
Yay!
Sneak that one in there. This wraps up tonight's show, and the next show that will be broadcasted later this month will be with Erica and Elvira, and it will be on the topic of craft versus religion. So with that, it is now time for us to say goodbye. Goodbye.
Well, I know it's not goodbye, but it has that moment of leaving us from our present source. So definitely there are many different episodes of The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron that have been done over a lot, and they're being put up on YouTube.
Yes.
That do talk about preliminary things like what an item is and the ritual items and things of that nature. So
there's a cornucopia of things.
Yeah. So please feel free. Obviously I've had a show. The show was with Miss Phoenix and before Deb came on. So please go and find those. And then obviously the resources that we've given you to connect with us and the resources around Hoodoo Psychics and AIR and Lucky Mojo store. I know there's a lot online to help with the different areas. So I will say goodbye, Deb.
One last thing I should say before the last thing is that because we are being on YouTube now, is please like and share our videos.
Yes.
It helps us a lot. So until next time, our magical friends, witch on, witch well, and witch wisely.
Woohoo!
Thank you for listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs on Thursdays and is available for download. Plus, we're uploading them weekly as YouTube videos. Questions or comments on this show, or ideas for upcoming shows, can be sent to our website at witchpriestessandcauldron.com. That's witchpriestessandcauldron.com. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.